be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Mary set out and traveled to the hill country in haste to a town of Judah, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out in a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how does this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For at the moment the sound of your greeting reached my ear, the infant in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed are you who believe that what the Lord had spoken to you would be fulfilled." And Mary said, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on his lowly servant. From this day all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He has mercy on those who fear him in every generation. He has shown the strength of his arm and has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their throne and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has come to the help of his servant Israel, for he has remembered his promise of mercy, the promise he made to our father, to Abraham and his children forever." Mary remained with her about 3 months, and then returned to her home. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today, on this great solemnity of the Assumption of Our Lady, our feast is framed first by Mary's words, "The Almighty has done great things for me." Today, as we celebrate the Blessed Virgin Mary, we remember the great thing he did for her in her Immaculate Conception, great thing he did for her in choosing her to be the mother of his only begotten Son, the great things he's done for her in giving her all those graces to which she always said yes, the great thing he did assuming her into heaven, body and soul, in crowning her queen of heaven and earth. It's the first thing. Today we join in her recognition that the Almighty has indeed done great things for her. Second, is we join in her gratitude to the Lord, because as she said, "From this day all generations will call me blessed." It was earlier, just moments before that Magnificat, where her cousin Elizabeth said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Today we join that same praise. We say to our Queen in heaven, we say to our Mother, "Blessed indeed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." But the most important way that we celebrate this feast is by entering into this scene of the Visitation, which is why it was chosen for this great solemnity. Most people, when they think of the scene of the Visitation, when they pray in the joyful mysteries of the Rosary, most easily gravitate toward the fact that all of us, like Mary, as soon as we've received Jesus inside, are meant to bring Jesus to others. But here at Visitation Convent, we're able to ponder another aspect of that reality, the other pole, that this scene of the Visitation is obviously not just about Mary, not just about Jesus, not just about how Jesus would make John the Baptist leap in St. Elizabeth's womb. It's also about the incredible receptivity of St. Elizabeth, welcoming the one, carrying that young pregnant woman, even though she herself was pregnant. And it's that type of receptivity that we're supposed to model, because it's on this Feast of Mary's Assumption. She hasn't disappeared. She hasn't gone to a faraway place where we won't see her until we ourselves die. She's gone there precisely, as St. John Paul II wrote in his beautiful apostolic exhortation on the Mother of the Redeemer. She's gone there precisely to serve us, because for her, just like for her son, to reign in heaven is to serve. And she wants to serve us precisely so that we might one day share the fate that began for her today, when her son, with so much great joy, welcomed her body and soul into heavenly glory. This Feast of the Assumption is a feast about not just Mary's acceding into the fullness of the kingdom of heaven, but how she wants to use her exalted title and status to help us all join her at her son's eternal right side. Tomorrow is the 200th anniversary of the birthday of St. John Bosco. My original plan, until I got three other Masses, was to come and celebrate here with you, just so that we could celebrate this important and momentous time in the history of the Church, because dates are never insignificant. But insofar as we can't do it tomorrow, we should at least focus a little bit on St. John Bosco today. St. John Bosco had an incredible devotion to Our Lady under a specific title, Exilium Christianorum, Help of Christians. He built, or as he said, Our Lady built for herself there in Turin, which is where his tomb is to this day, the Basilica of Santa Maria Auxiliatrice, Our Lady, Our Help, the Help of Christians. And Mary always seeks to want to help us. For her to reign is to serve. And so much did St. John Bosco promote that devotion to Our Lady, Help of Christians, that our Santa Maria Auxiliatrice is still called in Italy La Madonna di Don Bosco, the image of Our Lady specifically dear to the saint whose birthday we celebrate tomorrow. On May 30th, 1862, St. John Bosco let all his spiritual sons and the future priests of the Salesians in on one of the intimate dreams that the Lord had allowed him to see. From the time that he was just a 9-year-old boy, where Mary appeared to him in a dream and showed him a whole bunch of kids running around as if they were savage animals, and how he was trying to discipline them and failing. She told him at 9, no, you have to do it with tenderness. She showed him how to shepherd all of these lost and wild sheep. And he, from that point on, was able to be led by the Lord in thousands of dreams. But on May 30th, 1862, he had what he considered one of his most important dreams. He saw a naval battle on an incredibly stormy sea. He saw a gargantuan ship, and at the helm of the ship as the captain was a man dressed in white. And he recognized that to be the Pope. He recognized various crew that were on it. And there was a little flotilla of boats next to him of people who were trying to help. But the winds and the ferocious seas were against, and there were lots of other boats coming to attack that big boat led by the captain in white. It was attacking, but as soon as it was attacked, those breaches that could have shipwrecked and sunken that big boat were being miraculously repaired. And in the distance, St. John Bosco saw two huge pillars coming out of the ocean. One with Our Lady Help of Christians, and the second with a huge Eucharist. Underneath was an expression, Salus Christianorum, Salus Fidelium, the salvation of the faithful. And the whole work of the captain dressed in white was to bring that boat and essentially anchor it to those two pillars. And the other parts of that papal flotilla, you could call it, were all trying to do likewise. And as soon as they were basically anchored there, that's when all the other boats that were opposing eventually began to get destroyed. And that's when tranquility hit the seas. And St. John Bosco, after he related the dream and all its details, said that the church was going to be facing some very, very rough times. And it's absolutely essential for the church, guided by the Holy Father, to anchor itself to these two devotions, toward Eucharistic adoration, toward this real love for Jesus in the Holy Eucharist, and to a stronger devotion to Our Lady, who always seeks to help us. That this star of the sea is not just a star, but a pillar for us on which to build our faith while we're going through the storms. We see Mary essentially battling against all of those enemies in the first reading today, where the dragon is warring against the woman and against her child. We see precisely that the dragon doesn't win, but that God wins. And Mary wants us to share totally in that victory and is fighting for us to share in that victory. She has gone to heaven precisely to be that pillar, so that anchoring ourselves to her in her response and anchoring ourselves to the blessed fruit of her womb, we will be able, in that bark of Peter, to be able to gather many and bring them to that eternal shore. St. John Bosco, when he used to catechize the young boys in the faith, when he got them to look at Holy Communion and how to receive Holy Communion with great love and gratitude, he would always return to one image. He said, when you come forward to receive the Lord Jesus, imagine that you are receiving from Our Lady instead of the priest, that Our Lady is the one giving you that blessed fruit of her womb, presenting him to you like she did to the shepherds and to the Magi and to all those others who would come in Bethlehem. Today, as we come forward, as we prepare for the 200th anniversary of the birthday of St. John Bosco, as we celebrate this great solemnity, Mary, in fact, does help us. Like at the wedding feast of Cana, she has long been praying for what we need before we're even aware of what we need, just like she prayed there in Cana for this couple before anyone, including the mother of the bride, was conscious that they had run out of wine. Mary's praying for us here, for all the graces we need in order to go through these stormy seas to the gate, to the port of heaven, to the port of Chile. And the greatest of all the blessings she intercedes for us is that we receive from the altar her own Son, whom she wishes to give to us today with love. O Mary, assumed into heaven, pray for us who have recourse to thee.